Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you're listening across Big Blue View Radio, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Big day for your New York Giants on Tuesday as general manager Joe Shane, I don't know if we should call him Trader Joe at this point, swung a big deal on Tuesday for tight end Darren Waller, sending third round pick that he got for the Kadarius Toney trade to the Raiders to get Waller. And here to help me break it all down is Tony Del Genio of Big Blue View. Tony, thanks for a few minutes.
My pleasure.
So Kadarius Toney turned into Darren Waller. That's not too shabby.
No, not at all. And, you know, I think it just goes to show you how you have to wait for trades to play themselves out before you really can conclude whether the trade was good or not. I mean, the immediate thing is Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller and a sixth round pick. Also, and of course, you know, who knows what the sixth round pick will be, but it you know, it's probably not going to be an earth shaking player, but just that trade in itself, Kadarius Toney was somebody who was traded among other reasons because he couldn't get on the field enough, and of course the reason Darren Waller, I think, were one of the reasons Darren Waller was available to the Giants in trade is because of the injury problems that he suffered over the past 2 years. And so, you know, I think both sides of that don't really happen or don't happen the same way otherwise. But for the Giants, it's a great trade, I think, on many levels. First of all, if you get any production out of Darren Waller, then it's a great return for a low third round pick. And by the way, you know, we say third round pick, but I remember when the Toney trade was made, so many people on Twitter were saying, oh, well, it's really just about a fourth round pick because it was at the bottom of the third round. So remember that it's just about a fourth round pick now when you're evaluating how good a value Darren Waller is for that pick. It's not the top of the third round. It's the bottom of the third round. And, you know, and when you look at Waller's contract, it's very favorable to the Giants in that after this year, if, you know, if he's a disaster, if he can't get on the field at all and does nothing for them and they just throw up their hands, they can get rid of him with no dead money. Even though he's got these 3 years left on the contract, there's no dead money after this year. So really there are safeguards in place to make this not a big disaster if his health doesn't hold up. And if it does, the Giants are getting one of the top five tight ends in the NFL, which is just an amazing thing.
All right. Show's over. I think you hit all the salient points. I think we're done. That's pretty much everything we needed to do. So yeah, I mean, you know, the first thing you talked about the contract, and you know, we have to talk about that a little bit. The Waller contract, there are 4 years left on the deal that he signed with the Raiders. So that people know, I think it's the Giants are going to be responsible for somewhere around $11.9 million on the cap in 2023. But there is no guaranteed money left on the contract after the 2023 season, which means, as you said, they can move on from Waller if he can't get on the field, if it just doesn't work for whatever reason. And there would be some dead money, but it's very, very minimal amounts of dead money you know, that come in those over the last 3 years of that deal. It would all wrap into 2024 if they were to move on after 1 year, but it's very minimal. So it's a very favorable deal. And I mean, after a year, the Giants could, if it works well, they can renegotiate that deal to whatever they want it to be for, you know, for a couple more years beyond that. But beyond the contract, I talked to Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post for a show that I did on Monday, and Ryan and I were talking about the fact. I asked Ryan, who I'm learning more and more about how well connected Ryan Dunleavy is at this point. Ryan Dunleavy was first to report the Daniel Jones news last week. Ryan Dunleavy was all over the fact that the Giants were about to make a Darren Waller trade today, had tweeted that there was a trade coming. He just couldn't tweet the name. You know, as he admitted afterwards, he couldn't get a second source to confirm it. So he didn't put the name out there. He just basically put, you know, there's a tight end trade coming. So I'm learning more and more about how well connected he is. But when he and I talked for our podcast, for my podcast on Monday, we talked about the idea that the big move for the Giants this offseason would be a trade for a wide receiver. As it works out, it's a trade for a tight end, but it's still a big deal. It still does what the Giants needed to do for this offense. It does what they needed to do for Daniel Jones. It gives them, if Darren Waller is healthy, it gives them a number one target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yes, he's a tight end, but he started as a wide receiver and converted to tight end. And when you watch him, you can see that he started as a wide receiver because he's got moves and he's got, you know, long downfield speed. I mean, this is someone who can make explosive plays, and that's what you're supposed to be after. I mean, you know, when he's healthy, you know, he is right up there. You know, as far as the injuries go, I looked up how he compares to George Kittle, who to my mind is one of the top two or three tight ends in the NFL. He's played just about as many games as George Kittle. He has just about as many receptions and just about as many yards over the last 4 years of his career, over which Waller's been a starting tight end. And so like Kittle, he's been not on the field all the time, but if I said to any Giants fan, well, would you take George Kittle if you could get him? And I think most Giants fans say, yeah, I'll take George Kittle. Now, George Kittle's a great blocker too, which Waller apparently is not. He's purely a receiver. But in terms of offensive production, you know, if he's anything, you know, like he can be, it will be a tremendous asset for the Giants to give them someone who almost functions like that X wide receiver that we've been saying the Giants have needed for so long, ever since Plaxico Burress, probably. And you know, even though he's a tight end, I mean, he gives you that type of big target that you can hit. Plus he's got the breakaway speed to give you lots of yards after catch.
Absolutely. You know, I asked Joe Shane at the combine about the basketball team theory of building the wide receiver room, and he downplayed it. He said, you know, Brian Daboll wants guys who can separate, guys who can do that. But regardless of what he said, you still need somebody who can catch a 50-50 ball for you. You still need some size, and now Waller provides that for the Giants. You mentioned, you know, George Kittle, and the reality of it is George Kittle is the number one receiver in San Francisco. The number one receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs is Travis Kelce. For years and years and years and years, the number one receiver for the New England Patriots, who were the dominant team in football during that time, was Rob Gronkowski. You can build a passing attack around the tight end as your primary weapon. You obviously need guys at the wide receiver spots who can do some other things, but you can run a passing offense. And Mike Kafka has seen it up close as, you know, working in Kansas City for all those years. You can run a passing offense through a tight end. You can absolutely do that. Shoot, years ago, the Giants did that with Jeremy Shockey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is, for me, it's a terrific move. Basically, they gave away a pick that had belonged to Kansas City. I'm a little surprised that that's all it took to get Darren Waller out of Las Vegas. I'm not sure what was going on there. I don't know if you saw it, but there was the weird story that came out about Waller getting married.
Yeah.
A few days ago, like a week and a half or so ago, and how he didn't want the news to come out, and how Josh McDaniels somehow managed to spill the news at the combine that Waller was getting married, and apparently Waller wasn't real happy about that, and who knows if that had anything to do with them moving on from him. But it's very curious after they gave him an extension, and it's just a weird story. And if the Giants sensed a disconnect there and jumped in, then good for Joe Shane, good for the front office, you know, for paying attention and realizing that Waller was a big fish who was available.
Yeah, and you know, I read also that a year ago, Green Bay was trying to get Waller in the deal as part of the Devontae Adams move, and at that time the Raiders wouldn't do it. Now a year later, they're willing to put him in a trade for, as you said, you know, just a third round pick and a low third round pick. And so, yeah, something went on there, and you know, who knows what it is. I don't know. You know, it's not as if I don't think Jacoby Myers is going to replace what Waller gives them. So I think they're gonna have to you know, look elsewhere for more offensive production, although they do have also Hunter Renfrow. But for the Giants, I think you know, not only I think it's not only what it does on the field right now, but to me, I think it's also maybe what it does for them in the draft. Now, I don't know whether Shane has any more trades brewing that are going to come in the next couple of days. I saw some things on Twitter that the Giants are still in the market for a wide receiver, and maybe he's going to make a trade. But the first thing I thought of when I saw the Waller trade was that, well, now I think it takes the pressure off the Giants to look for a big wide receiver in the draft. You know, and that's important, because where the Giants are picking, let's say in the first round, if they want to go wide receiver in the first round, a lot of the better big guys are already gone by that time. But you got some very intriguing smaller guys like Zay Flowers, who's often there when you do mock drafts.
I was going to say, there's only one true big X-type receiver in this draft class, at least in the early part, and that's Quentin Johnston of TCU. Mm-hmm. And like you, I thought the first thing I thought was Zay Flowers at 25. And I will be honest, I love Zay Flowers. I know that Zay Flowers has 29 and something inch arms. I know he's 5'9". I know all of that. And you know what? I do not care. The young man can play. The young man is electric when you get the ball in his hands. Yes, when you draft a wide receiver of that size, there's a kid, Tank Dell, out of Houston, who's a guy that's probably, he's probably a round three, round four kind of a pick. But he's another one of those guys who can separate, who can run, who's electric with the ball in his hands. You can't throw him a 50-50 ball. You can't expect him to make the contested catch deep down the field. He's just not. And Zay Flowers is that kind of player. But you work around what he can't do. You do what he can do. I think he's terrific. And I think having a Waller type puts a guy like Flowers in play for the Giants at 25, I think. And mm-hmm. And it's funny, I get questions about, well, since the Giants traded for Waller, I got a question already today. Since they traded for Waller, does that take them out of the market for a tight end in the draft? And the draft is supposed to be so deep in tight ends. Why wouldn't they just draft one? Well, there's not a draft pick on the planet who's ever played in the NFL. All right, first and foremost. There's no proof that any of those guys, that Dalton Kincaid out of Utah or any of those guys, Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, there's no way to know if any of those guys is going to be a good NFL player. They should be, but there's no way to know. You had the opportunity to get a guy who's been a tremendous NFL player. You take that. And for me, like we've talked about, Daniel Bellinger's a nice player. Darren Waller could be a tremendous player, but Darren Waller could also be a Giant for only a year. If the Giants see it, have a tight end that they like in the third, fourth, fifth round, that doesn't mean they can't take the guy. You know, that doesn't, why would that stop them from taking a tight end? It might stop them from taking one at 25, but not later in the draft. I don't see why it would stop them from doing that at all.
Yeah, and I think, and that's what I think these moves during the free agency period do in general. They take the pressure off you. I like to think that Joe Shane and all the people who wind up making these decisions during the draft are telling us what they you know really do about not being pressured into doing anything at a particular place, but looking for the best players they can find. But when push comes to shove, somewhere or other, the Giants need somebody to catch the ball. Yeah. Somewhere or other, the Giants needed somebody to play linebacker for them. And now that the Giants have gotten themselves an honest to goodness good linebacker and an honest to goodness good pass catcher before the draft comes, it does take some pressure off to kind of go hunting for things like that. And it does give them more freedom, I think, when their number comes up. To actually say, oh, here's a really nice player here. You know, well, let's just take him because he's better than other players, even if he's not at the position that we think we need the most or whatever. So I think they can actually follow a best player available strategy a lot easier when you start filling those holes during the free agency period. And they've managed to fill two big ones in two consecutive days. And so I think that's one of the great things about all of this.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things is people study the draft. And I mean, people begin obsessing about the draft halfway through, you know, an ongoing season. They'll start obsessing about the next draft, mm-hmm. you know, halfway, if not even before that. And you get to this point and people are already dug in on which players they like, what they think teams should do and all of that. And the reality of it is I've been doing mock drafts now for a couple months and we do all of our profiles and we do all of that. And yet it really doesn't mean a whole lot until we see free agency, because free agency changes the way that you look at the board. I've done mock drafts with linebackers Drew Sanders and Trenton Simpson, you know, at 25. And the reality of it is we saw the news today that Wink Martindale was at Clemson and that, oh my God, he spent time talking to Trenton Simpson. And that must mean that the Giants are going to draft Trenton Simpson at 25. The reality of it is maybe they do, but you know, linebackers a whole lot less likely at 25 than it was before they signed Bobby Okereke.
Yeah.
And spending resources at the front of the draft on a tight end is a lot less likely. So you have to, before you can really figure out what a team's going to do, you really have to see what they do in free agency. A lot of times, and I don't want to, I'm kind of dredging up his name and people will hold their nose, but Dave Gettleman used to talk about this too. You kind of telegraph what you think about the draft class by what you do in free agency as well. You kind of telegraph the areas where you think you know where you think you can get a player in the draft. Yeah. And if I'm looking at the draft right now, and obviously free agency is not over. Technically, it hasn't even started yet. You know, technically it hasn't started because nobody can actually sign a contract, which I get a kick out of. We report for the last 2 days. The Giants signed so-and-so. Well, no, they didn't. They agreed to terms with so-and-so.
Yeah.
They didn't sign anybody, but they are going to. But you know, the reality of it is you really don't know what to hone in on in terms of the draft until after free agency. And I don't know about you, Tony, but right now, if nothing else happens, I'm looking at cornerback. I'm looking at the defensive line. I'm looking at maybe the offensive line if the right guy is there. And I'm looking at wide receiver, you know, depending on who they like. And the Maryland grad in me is banging on this table for Deontay Banks.
He's good looking. I'd be very happy to see him there at number 25. And if both he and Zay Flowers were there at 25, I'd kind of throw up my arms and say, well, take one and
toss a coin. There you go.
You can't go wrong, I think, with what you know before the guy ever steps on a field in the NFL. You can't go wrong with either one of those guys. You know, now that the Giants have gotten Waller, I might say, well, let's prioritize cornerback and go for Deontay Banks if he's there. We'll take that.
Yeah, you know, it's just interesting, and it the other thing that it goes to show is, you know, Joe Shane talked about closing the talent gap with the Eagles, and he also talked about this really being the start of what he hoped would be the build, because they were sort of in survival mode last offseason. They were just trying to field something that was representative and didn't and wasn't embarrassing. And the 2022 season turned out far better than they could have hoped, obviously. You're making the playoffs. I got a kick out of, I had a chance after the Giants signed Daniel Jones. We had a Zoom call with Joe Shane, and I asked him if he a year ago if he would have thought he would be there signing Daniel Jones, and he said no. He said no. He said if I'd have thought we were going to re-sign him, I wouldn't have, you know, rejected the fifth year option. You know, would have made life a lot simpler.
Yeah.
But you know, he was honest about that. And I think this is, it's just interesting to me that this front office, they seem to have a plan. They know what they want. They're going after it. And it just feels like an enjoyable time to be covering the Giants, to be rooting for the Giants, to be following the Giants. It's just it's different.
Well, you just, I think as a Giants fan, you know, you step back and say everything screams that these guys know what they're doing. It doesn't mean that all these moves are going to work out. Things may blow up in their face, but you look at the moves that they've made, and not just in the past 2 days, but the moves they've made ever since they got here. And so much of what they've done gives you confidence that they know what they're doing. And, you know, part of the excitement over bringing in a guy like Darren Waller is that I'm confident that they'll know what to do with him. And I think back to the Giants drafting Evan Engram, and I felt like whatever Engram's flaws, he also had a lot of talent. And I always felt that the Giants really didn't know how to utilize him properly. And they didn't seem to recognize the situations in which he had problems and the situations in which he thrived, and then gave him more of the latter. But with this coaching staff, you're confident that they will figure out how to use guys in the way that they can be used best. And of course, Brian Daboll was once a tight ends coach. And Mike Kafka, of course, came from Kansas City, where he kind of saw close up how the Chiefs used Travis Kelce, right? And so you got to think that those two guys putting their heads together will come up with some nice ways to use Darren Waller in a way that exploits the very obvious talents that he has. And so I think that's part of the excitement. It's not just getting the names. It's saying, oh, these guys are going to know what to do with this player.
Well, I think that is something that we learned a year ago when the Giants drafted Wandale Robinson. There was so much gnashing of teeth and so much, he's a third round pick, he's not a second round pick. And the reality of it was that the Giants said very simply, we have a plan.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, so we had a little bit of an internet interruption there, folks. Had the big storms in the Northeast here have dumped more than a foot of snow on my home in upstate New York and caused a little bit of a brief power outage there. Lost the internet for a little bit, and I'll be honest with you, Tony and I kind of lost our place in where we were in terms of recording. So we're going to pick up here a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about what there is left for the Giants to do. Tony, it's weird. We've seen so much already, but technically free agency hasn't really started because the signing period hasn't started. What else? We've got the big trade. We've got the Okereke news. The Giants added something to their defensive line. They re-signed a bunch of their own players. At this point, what else would you really like to see them do in free agency with whatever resources they have left?
Yeah, you mentioned the defensive line, and that's Nunez Rochus, right?
Yes.
And actually, I was pretty happy with that signing too, because I think one of their big problems last year was that when Nick Williams went down with an injury, they had to play Justin Ellis, I think, a lot more, and their run defense at the first level was just not good the rest of the year, and so I think they've really upgraded that as well, and provided a really viable rotational piece to give Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams a rest. So actually, people paid less attention to that, I think, than the Okereke and signing and of course the Waller trade. It's the smallest of the three, but I think that was an important one too. So if I think about what the Giants, need beyond this point, I don't know that there's a wide receiver in free agency that thrills me. And so I'm hoping that if we're adding a wide receiver, it's probably through the draft. Unless we're taking a low level wide receiver in free agency for depth. Similarly for cornerbacks, I'm not sure that free agency is the place to go grab a cornerback, because it's probably going to cost you a lot of money to get a really high level cornerback in free agency most of the time. And I don't want to, I don't know what's possible, but I'm guessing that's not where they're going in free agency either. And so the next area of need that I can think of for the Giants, now that they've gotten a linebacker, is the offensive line. And, you could take the attitude that the pieces are already there on the offensive line and they just need another year to improve, especially the young players like Evan Neal and Josh Azudu, for example, another year from Ben Bredesen and so on. And that might be the case. But I think there's still uncertainty there. And I think, you know, Evan Neal, I think you don't want to touch for another year. You just want to give him that second year and hope that he develops before you start to think about moving in a different direction. But the interior of the line, I feel like those positions are still up for grabs, and we don't really know what to expect. And now with Nick Gates having left, there's less depth there than there used to be. And so I think somewhere along the line, they've got to pick themselves up a center and a guard. And maybe one or both of those things can be in free agency. If not, then they're going to have to be in the draft. But I don't want to see them go into the next season without some upgrades on the line there.
Yeah, I feel like it might be both in that area, Tony. I feel like John Feliciano will be brought back eventually. I don't think you'll see Feliciano get the kind of money that Nick Gates got, which I think is one of the reasons why he'll be back. But I think also wouldn't surprise me at all if there's a center taken by the Giants in the draft or another interior offensive lineman continue adding to that group. That, to me, was a mistake that Jerry Reese made several times as general manager over his last few years, was not adding consistently to that line. Was a mistake that Dave Gettleman made a couple of years ago. I think the year after he drafted Andrew Thomas, Matt Peart, and Shane Lemieux, then he drafted zero offensive linemen. And it's always a mistake not to supplement that group. So in some way, shape, or form, yes, they do need to supplement that group. Wouldn't be surprised if they make a move, a low-cost move, somewhere at safety. Mm-hmm. I think Julian Love is going to price himself out of the market for the Giants. And Joe Shane has said several times that he thinks there's depth in the market. I think he believes that he can find a useful safety either in the draft or on a low cost signing where he won't spend as much money as he would have to spend to keep Julian Love. So I would keep an eye out for that at this point. Anyway, we're at that point where, come Wednesday afternoon, guys can actually put their names on contracts and technically free agency can actually start.
And I think we're going to find out, I guess, tomorrow whether Shane is using the option of cutting Kenny Golladay with a post-June 1st designation or whether he's just going to cut him tomorrow, which makes a difference in how much cap space they'll have to work with if they decide to take the post June 1st designation. Then it gives them extra money after June 1st, and they could use that to sign the draft class, which frees up money for them to make another move before June 1st. And so if they do that, it makes me think that maybe he's got other things in mind with free agency before they, other than the very low cost things to do this year. If they just go and take the 6.7, I think it is, million that they get in cap relief by cutting Golladay tomorrow, then maybe it suggests that they're going to be a little bit more conservative in what they do in free agency. One thing I've said to myself that I can't even rule out them doing in free agency is actually signing a second free agent linebacker. And I want to, because they really are in dire need in the linebacking core. And there's the chance that Darian Beavers will look good in camp this year if he's fully recovered from his injury, and he might slot in as one of the linebackers. And again, there's a chance they'll draft a linebacker, I think, especially on day three. But they do need somebody next to Okereke to play, and it's not obvious who that's going to be at this point. And so there are other free agent linebackers around. It's not out of the question that he might double dip. That's what Chicago did at linebacker. They got two.
Yeah, who knows? It's interesting. We'll see what happens. Not sure how much money the Giants have left to spend. I did want to remind people that when we say tomorrow, as we do the show here, we are talking about Wednesday. We are recording on Tuesday night. So just in case you're confused by that, I did want to say one thing about Kenny Golladay. I get asked all the time about why wouldn't the Giants just make him a post-June 1 cut? Why wouldn't they make all of their you know, cuts like this post June 1 cuts. And the reality of it is there are two schools of thought. There are two ways to do this. Yes, if they make him a pre-June 1 cut, they save $6.7 million on the cap. But, and if they do that, they get to use that money right away. They can use that money right away on March 15 to begin signing free agents. So if they need that money to pay for some of the moves that they've made, that makes sense. The other thing about that that makes sense is, yes, they take a $14 million cap hit this year. But as Joe Shane said, if they do that, they take their medicine this year, and Golladay is completely off the books heading into 2024. If you make him a post-June 1 cut, you do save on the 2023 salary cap, you save $13.5 million. But that $6.8 million difference between 6.7 and 13.5, that doesn't disappear. That lands on the 2024 salary cap. So, you know, Joe Shane has indicated that he would like to just be done with it, take his medicine, be done with it, and move on. And if the Giants are, if they can do that, I think that's what they will do. We'll find out at some point on Wednesday. But there are, so there are drawbacks to the post June 1 cut, simply because you do that, you're carrying money into next year as well.
Right. And so I think, you know, it'll tell us a little bit about how he sees the rest of free agency this year, but it also, I think, tells us something about how he's viewing the long term, right? And yeah, I think if there's one thing that I'm pretty confident in about Joe Shane, it's that he is thinking long term. He's not just acting in the moment, that he's going in with a plan and executing things when he wants to, the way he wants to. And he's trying to put himself in a position where he's not forced to do anything, really. And so either way he goes, it'll be fascinating to see.
Absolutely. I mean, the last thing I will say before we wrap it up is that Joe has been clear. He was clear before the 2022 season that it wasn't necessarily about 2022. You can see from what he's done so far, and the way that he's treating the salary cap, even what he's doing right now is not necessarily about going all in on 2023. Yes, they signed Daniel Jones. They made the big trade for Darren Waller. And those things will make them better in 2023 as they continue to build this roster. But it's about setting the Giants up for sustained success, for a long-term run where they can be competitive on an annual basis and not just once in a while. So that's the encouraging thing for me, is they have that goal. They have a plan. They seem to know how they want to get there. And Tony, I think that's enough for you and I as we wrap this one up. So Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other. And remember, we'll be back if there is some news on Wednesday. We'll be back with another show. So thanks again, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smart Water. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smart Water Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.